Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
I believe God is going to give us great insight into how to receive encouragement from the Word of God, how to endure and be encouraged even in times like these. I believe that. So Romans 15:4 again says that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, that's me and you, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. We might have what? Hope. You know what the world needs more than anything else? Hope. And hope comes from being encouraged in the Word of God. That's where we get our hope from. Christian biblical hope is not, boy, I hope so. It is, I know so, I expect it to be so, and I have hope because of that. So think about that. And now let's go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 36. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah, and he captured them. Then the king of Assyria sent his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. When the commander stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the watchman's field, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to him. Let's look up for just a second. I want to summarize this. All right. First of all, Sennacherib, he was the king of what is known as Assyria. Not Syria, Assyria. So I want to define now, for our purposes, what was the kingdom of the Assyrians? Or where is it? Here's what I've learned, that Assyria was part of the region known as Mesopotamia. Who's heard of that? Sounds like a mess to me. Mesopotamia. And Mesopotamia is divided in two parts. The northern part was the Assyrian Empire. The southern part was the Babylonian Empire. Now, I challenge you, find a place in the Bible dealing with ancient Israel where they weren't up against either the Assyrians or the Babylonians. These wars and these rumors of wars and these battles and these things that are taking place, they're not new. They're not new. So here is this king of Assyria, Sennacherib, ruler of the northern part of Mesopotamia, and here's the region where that kingdom was from. Here's what countries you would recognize it was made up of. It was part of Syria, Lebanon, northern Iraq, southeast Turkey, and northwest Iran. All those are still, to this day, enemies of God's people Israel. Here's the question. Are we warring against flesh and blood? If you read your Bible, you know you're not warring against flesh and blood. Evil takes hold of flesh and blood. It's been going on since ancient times. But God always has a remnant. God always intervenes. And I believe God will and is even today. So Sennacherib comes against him. I want you to notice in verse 1, he's already attacked, captured, and fortified the cities of Judah. That's the southern part of Israel. And then he sends his members specifically to send a message to the king. Now, there the field commander said to him, verse 4, tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? Now, what we're going to do as we go through this, remember, everything that was written before time was written so that we could learn from the Scriptures. God is the defender of Israel, and the enemy desires to destroy Israel. The enemy of God desires to destroy anything that's of God. And the enemy hates the church, and he come against us now, just like he will come against them then and them now. So what we're going to learn as we watch this man, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, what we're going to learn is that the tactics haven't changed. And we can get some great insight in what he tries to pull and how we ought to respond. So the first thing Sennacherib did, I'm going to say it this way. The first thing the enemy did was this. He said, on what are you basing this confidence of yours? He begins to question your believe. He begins to question your trust, your confidence. On what are you basing this confidence? Verse 5, sounds like the accuser. You say that you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you would rebel against me? Look now, verse 6 says, you're depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff that pierces a man's hands and wounds him if he leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. So he's accusing them. First of all, he goes, on what are you basing this confidence? And then he mentioned, he goes, you're basing this confidence on your own military strength. That ain't going to work. And if you're basing this confidence on your allies coming to rescue you, that ain't going to work. He's pointing that out to him. He's sowing seeds of doubt. He's trying to create a scenario where they will question their trust in God. He's attacking them in the natural, but what he's really doing, we would call it today, psychological warfare. Psychological warfare is actually spiritual warfare. Because when the enemy's speaking things, either through a person or just using thought, if he's trying to stir up and create doubt and confusion and rock your trust in God, that's spiritual warfare. Is he trying to get in your head? Absolutely, he's trying to get in your head. You want to know why? Because he knows your head or your mind is the gate to your spirit. What you allow to go into your mind and remain in your mind and you agree with it will get in your spirit. That's why you shouldn't watch garbage or listen to garbage unless you want a life that is garbage. That's the truth. So, verse 7, if you say to me, he says, we are depending on the Lord our God. Isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before this altar? I want to inform you something about those high places that got removed. They were worshiping this one, that one, and the other one. Oh, yeah, and by the way, they would also worship Jehovah there. So what he's actually doing now, he said, I'll sow some doubt about your military strength. I'll sow doubt about your allies. Now I'm going to sow doubt about your leadership. Is he doing anything new or different today? No, same old stuff. So he says after that, verse 8, come now, make a bargain. Make a bargain. Make a bargain with my master, king of Assyria. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. How can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you're depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? And furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this land without the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it. There is an element of truth in that. The king of Assyria was appointed by God to come and bring a judgment to Israel, because they had been throwing God under the bus for a long time, worshiping other things. But God did not tell him to destroy it. God had made promises that Israel would never be destroyed. So again, the enemy takes an element of truth and twists it to once again create doubt and confusion concerning your trust in God. Same old stuff. So then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah, that's the cabinet officials, king of Israel, said to the field commander, please speak to us, your servants, in Hebrew within the hearing of the people on the wall. Watch what happens. The commander replied, was it only to your master and you that my master sent me to say these things and not to the men sitting on the wall who will have to, like you, they will have to eat their own filth and drink their own urine? He's saying, we are going to surround this city and we're going to keep every supply you got from reaching here. That's a threat. It's a pretty graphic threat. Because if you don't come and make a bargain with us, you're going to be so beat down that you're going to get in that situation, every one of you. And they were talking loud, and they were talking in Hebrew, which ain't even their native language. And they were doing it because the enemy wanted to make sure he spoke it in a way that it meant something. I want to give you a tactic of the enemy. I'm going to expose his tactic. He won't speak to you the same way he will speak to me, because we don't speak the same language. You say, yeah, we do. We all speak English. I'm not talking about that language. I'm talking about the way we understand things, the way we see things. In other words, the enemy, one of his tactics is to make it personal. You might write in your notes, the enemy wants to make it personal. He always wants to make it about you. Hallelujah. The reason I say hallelujah is because we're exposing all of his tricks. He's already used everything he's got in his toolbox, and he's still defeated. Amen. So the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, verse 13, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you. But that's just throwing the fear tactics. How many people, how many millions have been manipulated by fear tactics rather than trusting God? Come on, you don't have to think back but a couple years, right? So everybody say, never again. Come on, never again. He said, don't let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah. So here's the tactic of the enemy. When God puts a faith leader in your life, when God puts a voice in your life that says, trust in the Lord will save us, the Lord is for us, God is good, the enemy wants to go, you can't trust them. So the enemy sows seeds of doubt and discord. Don't listen, verse 16. Don't listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Watch what he says. This is how the devil talks to you too. He goes, make peace with me. Come out to me. Nothing new. Bible says nothing new under the sun. Devil's using the same old tactics. And when you recognize him, I pray to God, if he tries to use this nonsense on you, you'll laugh at him. And then plead the blood. Amen. He said, come and make peace with me. Come out. Listen to me, friends, Christians, believers. You can't make peace with the devil. Jesus said the thief, the devil, comes only. Everybody say only. Only. He comes only to do three things. It's actually one goal, but it's three parts. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that same spirit was at work back here, and it's recorded. So we can find out the tactics of the enemy. Everything that was written before time was written for us so that through it we can learn. Learning brings encouragement, not discouragement. Don't be discouraged about what's going on in the world today. Don't be discouraged at all. Because we're going to read the end of the story. And it always ends the same. Different plot, different characters, same ending. He always ends up totally, utterly defeated and destroyed. I don't know why he even keeps trying. He hates. He hates God. He hates people. All people.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
Let's get back to the tactics, see what we learn. So he's begging them to make peace and telling them, you know, if you don't, you're going to suffer tremendously. Look at verse 16 again. Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Syria says. Make peace with me. Come out to me. Then every one of you, listen, every one of you to eat from his own vine and his own fig tree and drink water from his own cistern well until I come. And I'll take you to a land like your own. I'll relocate you, in other words, and a land of grain and new wine, land of bread and vineyards. We'll call it Auschwitz. Did you get that? The enemy always tries to convince you that if you'll compromise with him, he'll back off. You know, all this turmoil, all this pressure you're under because you're trying to do things Christian way, the right way, God's way. If you just compromise, the pressure will be gone, you know? If you've always depended on something in your life, a substance or a relationship or whatever it was for your security and your peace, and then you come to Christ and you turn your back on that and you realize God tells you that's not right, and so you walk away from it, here's what the enemy's going to do. He's going to hammer you over and over and over again, tell you, look how hard your life is because you're not open to any form of compromise. You need to just slack off a little. It won't hurt you. Other people do it. Make peace with me, the enemy says, and life will go back to being good. Did you hear that? It's a lie. He wants to drag you off and kill you. But if you're aware of what he's doing, and he goes, make peace with me, I'll feed you and clothe you and bless you and do, and it'll be all great. You're like, ha, 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 liar. Jesus said that the devil is the father of lies. He said that when he lies, the devil lies, he speaks his native language. Because here's what Jesus said. There is no truth in him. He can't do anything but lie. That's the truth. So when the enemy's trying to make something appealing to us, or he's trying to cause us to not trust God but trust this, it's lies. He's setting you up, or trying to. But we're not unaware. Let me say it to you scripturally. We're not ignorant of the devil's schemes. That's a direct quote from the Word of God. We are not ignorant of the devil's schemes. He revealed himself. He exposed his tactics over and over and over again in ancient Israel. And all we've got to do is go read it. Because everything that was written before was written for us so that we can learn from it. Whew. Someday I'll learn to preach faster too. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be today. I know I'm going where I'm supposed to go. Let's see if we can get there. So all these threats and all this stuff, skip down to verse 18. Don't let Hezekiah mislead you when he says the Lord will deliver us. Has the God, little g, of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Syria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Samaria is Judah. Who of all the gods of these countries has been able to save his land from me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand? So he starts pointing them at all these other people and their experiences. You ready? Here's the tactic of the devil. He always wants to point out to you faith failure experiences that other people have had. Let me ask you a question. What does that have to do with you? They believe God got a miracle. Honestly, what does that have to do with you? Nothing, not really. I mean, you can use their testimony as inspiration to receive your own miracle. But what if they didn't receive their miracle? Whatever. What does that have to do with you? Does that mean you can't? No, it don't have nothing to do with it. So here again, the enemy's always trying to point out where God failed. Look how God failed. Look how God failed. How many of y'all have had him do that to you? Raise your hand. I've had him do it to me. Try it on me. Many, 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 many times. Why are you trusting God for? You believe in God. Remember when you believe in God about it? Shush. I plead the blood over my mind and my heart. So he starts bringing that up. Verse 21, but the people remain silent. Here's a great nugget. Don't miss it. The people remained silent and said nothing in reply because the king had commanded them, don't answer him. Don't debate with someone who's been around eons longer than you have and knows human nature better than you do. Don't debate him. Rebuke him. Resist him, the Bible tells us. It doesn't tell us debate the devil and he'll flee from you. It says rebuke him. Amen. So they tore their clothes and they went and began to tell the king. Chapter 37, verse 1. When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and went where? Where'd he go? He went to the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Here's where a lot of people make a mistake. Get under a spiritual attack. Enemy's coming and he's accusing. And what do? They feel beat down. They feel guilty for even being accused. They feel guilty for even having doubts. And what do? They withdraw from the house in the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you quickly how to absolutely make sure you suffer defeat every time. Withdraw from the presence of the Lord. But if you stay plugged in, you're going to come to a church and there's going to be a preacher stand up and give you a word of encouragement from the Scripture. You're going to hear the Holy Spirit say what you need to hear, whether it's through the worship leader or the song or somebody greeting you or something. That's why all the more as we see the day approaching, encourage one another. These empty chairs have never once, ever, not once, spoke a word of encouragement to me. Not once. Amen. So Hezekiah hears about the enemy's attack and he doesn't shrink away. What he does is he runs into the house of God and he begins to pour his heart out to God. How many know the Bible tells you to cast all your care on God because he cares for you? It's 1 Peter 5:7 that says that. Okay, Caden, put 1 Peter 5:7-8 up there for me. 7 first. You stay there in Isaiah because we're going to finish in a couple minutes there. But watch this. We know this verse. Cast all your care, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you, right? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Here's my question. How does he know who to target? How does the enemy pick his victims? It's real simple. Those that are carrying around a load of care. Those that are fretting and worrying. If you're fretting, literally you're lighting up. Hey, attack me here. Because this is an area, listen to me, this is an area I'm struggling to trust God with. I mean, if you're not struggling to trust God, why are you fretting over it, right? You wouldn't be. So if you're fretting and you're worrying, and what you're doing is you're expressing. Jesus said, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, drink, and all that, Matthew 6, saying. The enemy listens through his cohorts to your conversations. The enemy is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. But he doesn't have to follow us around very long to figure out what we're thinking. We're all like Peter. Everybody knows what you're thinking, Peter. Right? You don't have to be Jesus to know what Peter's thinking. He won't tell you. Right? So when we fret, we allow anxiety, we allow worry, fear. We let it linger. It doesn't come from us. It does not come from us. And it sure don't come from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So if it's fear, the Bible says perfect love drives out all fear. Well, if I'm tempted to fret, worry, or be afraid, it ain't come from God. Agreed? So I don't want to get in agreement with that. I want to resist that. I'm going to take that care. If I never had any anxiety, if I never had any cares, I wouldn't have to cast them on the Lord. Having anxious thoughts, having fearful thoughts is not a sin. Keeping them is. Jesus said to the Pharisees that were opposing him, he said, why do you entertain evil thoughts? Entertain. Come on in, you're welcome here. That's entertaining. If a skunk came in your house, don't entertain it. Get it out of there quick. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. I want to encourage you, go read every single word of it. Here's what happens. Hezekiah goes into the temple and he literally takes Israel's problem and makes it God's problem. And he literally says to God, he goes, you hear the words of this person. You hear his people blaspheming you. He makes it all about God. He didn't say, they're against us. They're telling lies on us. He literally makes it all about God. When you come into the presence of the king, you talk about the king. When we come into the throne room of grace to find help in our time of need, we talk about grace. We talk about his goodness. We talk about his sovereignty. We talk about his promises. We don't talk about how I deserve it or I don't deserve it. We just talk about him. And in doing that, we're casting our care upon him. And then the enemy who goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour looks at you and he goes, they're trusting God in every area of their life. I got no way to attack them. I think I'll find somebody else. Come on. The lions don't attack every wildebeest in the herd, just the weak and the sickly and the young. Come on. You want to get attacked? Stay weak. Be sickly in your relationship with God and stay a baby Christian forever. And I promise you the enemy will attack you mercilessly over and over until he has stolen, killed, and destroyed all there is to do. But if you get your face in the Word of God and you continue to grow, you are no longer that attractive to the enemy. Does that mean he's going to leave you alone? No, it does not. But you win. You know, I can ask you a question. I say, has the devil tormented you today? And a lot of Christians are going to go, oh, my gosh, brother, you ain't going to believe. Well, let me ask you another question. Have you tormented the devil today? That's how it ought to be. If I'm busy pounding him down by trusting God and speaking the word and loving on Jesus and being intimate with Jesus, do you really think that the enemy's going to come around? If every time he comes around, I hand him his head on a platter, do you honestly think he's going to keep coming around? He's going to try to find some other way, but he ain't going to come that way anymore. So he's a liar. He's an accuser. He tries to get you to compromise. He tries to get you to trust not God, but just back off. Trust me. Trust me. Let's close by Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 from the Passion Translation. You probably know it from other translation. It says, trust in the Lord in the other translation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't what? Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, God, and He'll direct your path. There you go. Look at this in the Passion. Trust the Lord completely, and don't rely on your own opinions. I like that. We all got opinions. Most of them stink. We all have trash cans. Okay? Don't rely on your own opinions, but with all your heart, rely on Him, God, to guide you, and He will lead you in what? Every decision that you're making. Every decision. Big, small, and otherwise. Every decision. Well, I won't want to trouble God with all my decisions. It's not a trouble to God. He likes being included. He hates it when we leave Him out. He wants to be part of everything because He can help your everything become much, much better. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll direct your steps. Watch. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He'll lead you wherever you go. I mean, we looked at all those tactics, and I want you to go finish reading that. But the bottom line comes down to this. We are to trust the Lord with all of our hearts and not trust our own opinions or lean on our own understanding, but become intimate with Him. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Become intimate with Him. A lot of people are trying to trust a God they don't know. There's a lot of difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. If we don't become intimate with God, when the enemy comes, he's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. His tactics of trying to get us to doubt God, doubt things God's put in our life, God's strength in us. He'll get you to doubt everything. But when we're staying, living, abiding is a good word. When we're abiding in the presence of God, that's our daily, hourly, minutely life. Amen. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. But here's the deal. Being saved is not the same thing as trusting God. In order to be saved, you must come to trust God. And you can start out trusting God, because I got saved. I started out trusting God. But here's the question. Do you trust Him now? Somebody might hear me and go, I'm trying. Is that fair? I'm trying. Here's my advice to that someone who's trying to trust God. Go be intimate with Him, and it won't be near so hard. If you're intimate with Him, it's going to be a natural flow. If you're trying to be I'll show up if I need you, it's not going to work. That's why it's so hard. Amen. Do you believe it? Amen. I believe it. Say out loud, I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. I will not trust my own opinion. I'll become and remain intimate with my Lord, Jesus Christ, the Savior of my soul, my Redeemer, who bought me, cleansed me, and made me new. He is my hope. He is my trust, and He never fails. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.